Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Good morning. Happy New Year's Eve. All right, hope you had a wonderful Christmas time and season and good time with family, and I gained a few extra that I'll be working on getting rid of. I don't know about you guys, but we have a blessed nation, and so thankful for all that we had already this last week. It's great to see you and be with you this last day of the year. I want to share a few things that are kind of a summary of the year, and as we move forward into the next one, a bit as Jada shared, that was really wonderful. The consecration, we want to do that as well. But for those that I haven't met, my name is Matt, and I have the privilege of being one of the pastors here. We started this about 22 years or so ago, and really thankful for what the Lord has done and for all of you. So let me just touch on a few things from this last year that the Lord has done. And, you know, I think the end of the year is a great time to remember a few things, to think back to what the Lord has done, be thankful. We always want to be thankful about so many things. And when I think of this last year, wow, this was a major one for us, for Awake Church, for this fellowship that the Lord started. We've navigated a lot of things. The Lord has helped us navigate to get through many, many things. Just as a rewind and a little bit of a history here for those who may be new as well, but for 20 years or so, we rented as a church. We didn't have our own place, and the Lord led us to this property a few years ago and put an offer on it verbally. It was accepted. We got super excited. This was in 2020, and then early in 2020 in the spring. And then they didn't talk to us anymore and gave it to someone else. And so someone else had this property. They were going to buy it, but then it didn't close. So they came back to us and said, we'll give you another chance. They didn't apologize for dropping us. But we then put another offer on, the exact same one we'd given them earlier, and they accepted it and which was pretty amazing. I'll give some of the details, too, just a little bit, too, because of how amazing this is. They were asking $4 million for this property, the 10 acres, 73,000 square feet of space. We offered 1.3 and offered them a tax gift, a receipt, for the difference between the appraised value and the 1.3, and they said yes. So we paid 1.3 and then gave them a tax receipt for the difference in the appraised value, so it was like a $2.5 million gift receipt that they basically gave to us, the difference. So that's how that worked out. So that's pretty amazing for all of this property for that much money. And then to get a loan was not easy. And boy, just think of the timing of God. Think about this for a moment here. We got our loan really in the spring of 2021, and the rates were really low. So we got our loan at 3.75% for a commercial loan, just to let you guys know that, a little more of the details. Today, that loan would be 7+%, which is $10,000 more a month, just to give you an idea of what the Lord did on that. And so during the whole process of, thank you, God. And then to make all that happen, even for that loan, and the places you may remember, if you've driven through here or grew up in this area or familiar with this place, it had not been taken care of. In the parking lot, you needed basically a four-wheel drive to drive through it. And it was just really in disrepair. So it needed a lot of help, a lot of work. We needed to fix up some of the outside before we could get new tenants. And plus, we needed to have a down payment. You guys stepped up in incredible ways over the last 2 years. Over and above tithes and offering, you have given $800,000. That's a lot of money, yeah. So congratulations, and thank you for all of your giving, your generosity that enabled us to have a down payment, It enabled us to pour in about $700,000 into the outside here and to redo the parking lot, brand new lights, redo the roof, paint the whole thing, new awnings, lots of different things that we've done here. And then that helped us to get new tenants. And so we were about 10% occupied when we bought it. And we just have four spots open right now. And we did have two spots open. And so we have four now out of 22 spots. So the Lord has just helped that. And that income from those tenants helps pay for the whole loan, which is amazing as well. So the Lord just set that up. And so we do have a loan that we need to pay off, that we want to take big chunks out of that over the next year. We'll talk about that later. But boy, just so, so grateful. And along the way, you know, some things that were kind of behind the scenes, we had to obtain something that was not easy to obtain. This place is in a flood zone. And so to obtain a flood zone permit is really difficult. And so I'm not going to give you all those details. However, it looked as though, because if you don't get it, you can't do any building. You cannot pour in the money to upfit it, and everything looked like it was going to be a no-go, that we would not be able to do this. And there was a way that was made, so it was all legal, for us to do it. And so we did get our floodplain permit, which was the first step in really moving forward, along with the financing and our builder and all of those things. And my goodness sakes, thank you, Lord, along the way. So all that to say that in the end, we were able to move in. Our first service here was June 4th of this year, which is incredible to me, to have our own place. And we had, as we have moved in, $4 million in equity right off the bat. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. We're renting for 20 years and have moved in here and have already $4 million in equity. So thank you, Jesus, for all that. Now, that's just numbers and stuff, building and mortar and brick and all that. But really more than that in many ways is that this is where God wanted us to be. This is a place he really set aside for us. The reason that the Lord really led me up to plant this church in Winston-Salem had to do with the Moravians and the heritage, the spiritual heritage of the Moravians. They'd started in this county and in this city. And of course, they first came to Bethabara. And this is where they started with 12 guys, right across the street. In fact, the little path here that we have on right on over this land connects to their land. And this, there's a lot of spiritual significance to that, of uncapping the wells, of worship, outreach, and prayer. And the God has just brought us full circle all the way back. And so this is like a new beginning this year, 2023. For us as a fellowship to get us positioned in the right place for all the things that God wants to do in your lives, through us and through our lives in this region and in the world. And this was a year of repositioning to get us here, and I'm so, so grateful for all of that. Years and years ago, the Lord had given me this chapter, Isaiah 35, prophetically, as a scripture for our church, for this fellowship, probably around 2006 when I got this. And Isaiah 35 has a whole lot of promise in there. Once you will do these types of ministry and help people and pray for people, the Lord has, there's a lot of promise in it. And it was really fun. When all this happened, the address actually for this building got changed as well. And it is 3500. And I was thinking 35 verses 1 through 8 or so are the scriptures the Lord gave us. And all these are 35, and then 08 is the next address, and it just keeps going. And it felt like the Lord was saying, this is also a part of this, stepping into what he has for us here in this location. So throughout this year, in addition to renting another place and then moving here, a lot of wonderful things have happened. We have well over, I don't even know how many, well over 100, it's probably more like 150 to 200 volunteers among this fellowship that volunteer in so many different aspects of ministry, meaning a lot of things are going on all the time, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week, but especially on Sundays. A lot is going on. We've had a lot of baby dedications, a lot of baptisms, water baptisms, baptisms in the Holy Spirit also this year. We've had some salvations, not as many as I would like to see, But primarily on Sundays, it's to equip and build up the saints and encourage believers, not necessarily unbelievers. We also have outreach teams, though, that started this year. And we've had over a dozen salvations through those outreach teams with hundreds of people prayed for through that. And I think that will just continue to grow. They didn't start till this fall. So that will continue to grow. And if you have a desire, a heart to be a part of one of those teams that go out and share the gospel, pray for the sick, raise the dead, all that stuff, it would be great to. We'll let you know more about that along the way. We've had some people healed this year, several new members and new families. Our Freedom Ministry, Awake Freedom Ministry, has ministered to over 50 people this year individually, and those are hours at a time with each person. Prophetic teams, over 230 people ministered to prophetically with our prophetic teams that meet right after these services. International mission trips, we've had three of them to Africa this year. We have some new ones coming up this year, which we've been talking about, to the Dominican Republic and other places. Our business prayer and prophetic teams have prayed and gone to six different businesses. I don't know if you were aware of that we had that ministry, but it's really cool. If you have a business and you'd like a team to come and pray through your business and prophesy over it, we have teams that will do that, which is a really amazing ministry with wonderful fruit. People involved with our GTs are small groups. We've had 200 people, over 200 people throughout the year involved with our small groups. Our prayer teams on Sundays over here that we meet over here, we'll do that today. We've had over 120 people just prayed for individually by these prayer teams, one-on-one. We have dream interpretation teams. And so a lot of dreams, over 30 dreams have been interpreted, different people have had. And so these teams get together, they pray, and they interpret these dreams to help us. That's really helpful. If you're a dreamer especially, you've had these dreams, you need some interpretation, it's a great place for that. We have drive-through prayer. I don't know if you've noticed, if you've driven by here on Saturdays, it's not every single week, but we have drive-through prayer teams. So we have a little tent set up with teams, signs, people drive through or drive by, see that there's opportunity to get prayed for. We have people praying for them. So that is fruit going on during the week that I love to hear. We've also had some rededications of lives, salvations through those teams as well. Our missions giving, Craig mentioned that on the video there just a moment ago, but we give over 10% of our income that comes in here, we give back out to missions. So we gave over $100,000 into 20-plus missions around the world. That's national, local, and international missions. So all kind of missions that are going on, people that we have connections with, there's a lot of money going out of here to touch other people. And well, I'd love that for that to be a million. We just want to continue to do that, to grow and to send and to give, to see the Lord really move in the world and through many, many missionaries. One of those is our own Ran Alive ministry, basically, where these messages or most of these messages go, they get translated into Farsi, and they start to get broadcast throughout the Middle East. We have literally, and Cameron would be better at this than they've been doing it for a long time, Cameron and Susie, but probably hundreds of thousands of people have watched our services certainly each year, but could be even weekly. We have about 14 showings a week throughout the Middle East to millions of people potentially who could watch it. And we have no idea, the underground church, those who know the Lord and don't get to come together in a fellowship in a church, and they don't get to have a Bible either, by the way. It's illegal, and these messages go. The scriptures that are on these screens, Cameron and I have talked about this as well. Sometimes they will, in these other countries, while they're watching this broadcast illegally, and they'll see these scriptures, they have notebooks, so they write these scriptures down, it becomes their Bible. It's pretty amazing, the outreach that is happening just through that ministry here, as well as we support Cameron and Susie, and they are on other satellites as well. So we'll talk more about that later also. So a lot of amazing things are going on here. Lots that I didn't mention, that all these volunteers with all the different ministries, from the kids ministry and so many other ministries here that's going on. So God, thank you for all the fruit and all of the ministry that's happened, the great things, with a lot more to come. A couple weeks ago, I also mentioned that through Hydrating Humanity, one of the missions that we support and I lead with the wells, we've done over 1,100 wells now, and we were trying to get 12 wells sponsored by Christmas. So we're past Christmas, and 9 of those 12 got sponsored, which is incredible. There are 3 left. They're partially sponsored. Yeah. There are 3 left that are partially sponsored. There's a few left in each one. One of them is the Awake well we wanted to focus on for Awake Church. That was a $12,000 well, and unbeknownst to all of us, someone saw it that's not at our church, saw the need, and wrote a check for $12,000 and did that one. So we shifted the money that you guys gave toward that one to a different one. So the Awake well now that we're trying to sponsor, and all those count, is a $7,000 well, and we've had about 4,300 come in for that, so we have about 2,600 left to finish that one out. And you can go to hydratinghumanity.org, click on the 12 wells for Christmas, and you'll see Awake's well. You see at the very top. It's got a few left. If you want to give a little bit toward that, to finish that off, that would be wonderful. So thank you for that. All right. You know, several years ago, I was attending a class. It wasn't a Bible school. It was when I was in the government, actually, a long time ago now. And this class that I had to attend was really beneficial. And one of the things that the instructor, the professor was sharing impacted me, and it stayed with me. And she was speaking and sharing about what our minds think about, what we ponder on, what we think about. And she said this. And she had this noisemaker. I don't have one with me today, but she had this noisemaker, and she was rattling, and it was annoying. Then she'd stop, and she'd do it again. It was annoying. And she said, here's what this represents. She said, the noise represents 75% of our thought life, thinking about things in the past, versus 25% of our thought life being present or thinking about the future. She said the average person spends 75% of their thoughts thinking about things that are behind us. 75%. And just 25% about being present with the person in front of you, present with the Lord, or present, of course she wasn't talking about anything spiritual, but, or I am. Present with the Lord and thinking about what he has for us ahead. And that was pretty stunning to me to think about that. I started thinking about my own mind and my own thoughts and what I think about on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. How much of my time is thinking about things in the past? And although 2023 is coming to an end and we've just been talking about things that have happened this year, it's good to think about some things in the past. That's not a bad thing. We just don't want to stay there and think about that all the time, where it takes over being present with the Lord and thinking about what he has for us. Life sometimes, at least I have thought of this at times, can be a little bit similar to a vehicle or a car, because a car, a vehicle, is meant to get us to a destination. So you own a car. My guess is that everyone came in one today, or you came on the bus. But you got in a vehicle, and my guess is that in your vehicle, you have around 6 windows in it to look out, and you have probably around 5 mirrors. Nearly as many mirrors in your car as you have windows. You've got your left side mirror, your center one, your right one, and probably a couple of visor mirrors, right? And then you've got your backup camera. So there you got 6 things looking backwards and about 6 windows to look out of. I've realized that some of the best drivers in the world, we can use more of these, are those who are looking ahead and not just on someone's bumper looking 5 feet ahead or 10 feet ahead, right? But then we're looking way ahead so they can respond in the right way, make corrections that's needed. The worst drivers are those who are not paying attention, right? They are staring in at their phone. I'm amazed how many people are driving down the road looking at their phone. for one, right? Or if you're looking in the mirrors a lot, too much, that would be an issue. Think about it. Imagine this for a second. If our mindset is, or our minds are thinking about 75% things behind us and only 25% paying attention to where we are and what's ahead, put that in car terminology or in a vehicle. That's just that analogy. If life is a vehicle in that sense, imagine spending 75% of your time looking in a mirror while you're driving. Staring at the rearview mirrors, opening up the visor, looking at yourself. What kind of things would happen? Bad things. A lot of accidents. A lot of crashes. A lot of problems. And I think probably if you were to hear police reports, I've not done this, but if you were to read police reports as to accidents right now, a lot of them probably have to do with distracted driving, is my guess. Well, imagine if 75% of the mindset was looking in the mirrors, how bad that would be. And it's the same for our lives. That 75% of thinking about things, again, some of that can be really good to think about. What's behind us, to be thankful. But a lot of that can be bad things. Things that keep us thinking about the what ifs and what should have happened and what has been done to me and how I was hurt and how that person offended me. And almost even thinking about sentimental things that keep you bound to a moment in time rather than moving forward. There could be a lot of good things and a lot of bad things to think about in the past. But we want to, yes, pay attention and think about the great things and be thankful for it so it causes thankfulness. So there is a moment. It's like being in a car. You want to look in the rearview mirror regularly while you're driving, about 25% of the time, maybe, or maybe more like 5%. Probably be good. Glance up there, see who's behind you. When you change lanes, that's a great time. Take a look in the mirror before you navigate over into someone else's lane. That's a great time. Before you stop, I was taught when you're driving, you're supposed to look in the mirror before you touch your brakes to see who's behind you. It's good to look in your backup camera when you're backing up and to look behind you. We just don't want to do that all the time. And in life, really, there should be this gratefulness and this thankfulness, that glancing behind to be thankful. It's communion is that. Jesus said, as often as you do this, remember me. Remember 2,000 years ago what happened. And be thankful. But let's not continue to look at things in the past and get focused on those, and they keep us from being present. Sometimes you can even be talking to someone, and I've done this myself many times. You're talking to someone, and you're not really there, right? You're thinking about something else. You're thinking about what happened. You're thinking about what someone has done to you. All those things can bog down the brain and keep us thinking about the wrong things. Of course, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. So there is that glance that needs to be happening through the day. And one of my goals is to be one of the most thankful people on the planet. I really want to be that. I want to be one that thanks God for everything all the time, to be constantly thanking him for things. And that's remembering what he's done, remembering what he's doing right now as well, thinking about what he's doing. Proverbs 4:25 says, "Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you." Hebrews 12:2, it says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith." Let's run our race. And you can only run a race by looking ahead. And it says here, fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on him. Pay attention to what he's doing. What's he doing today? What does he want to do in me today? I'm looking, I'm present with him. I'm not just thinking about something else. I'm not just on my device. I am present with him and what he wants to do in me and what he wants to lead me into, what he wants to show me. The Apostle Paul, in a vulnerable way, shared some of his journey in life. We have it captured in Philippians chapter 3. I want to read some of this out of the Passion Translation, starting with verse 10. Paul says this, "My passion is to be consumed with him and not cling to my own righteousness," which he talked about earlier in the chapter, "based in keeping the written law. My only righteousness will be his, based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God." Verse 10, "And I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus and to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. I will be one with him in his sufferings and become like him in his death. Only then will I be able to experience complete oneness with him in his resurrection from the realm of death." Verse 12, "I admit I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose for which Christ laid hold of me to make me his own. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus." Here's that compelling focus. "I forget all the past as I fasten my heart to the future ahead." I'm looking through the windshield. I'm not staring at the rearview mirror, what's behind, and all my failures or accomplishments or any of those things. I'm looking forward at Jesus. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. So let all who are fully mature have this same passion. And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to them." If I have not been gripped, if you have not been gripped by this desire to please Jesus, to pursue him fully, he'll show that to us. He'll reveal that to us. "And let us all advance together to reach this victory prize, following one path with one passion." We're supposed to look straight ahead at Jesus. Follow him. And then remember what he's done for us. Yes, thank him for things along the way, but not get consumed with what has happened to me, what may have happened to me, all the what ifs that are in the past, all what about, what if that had, I'd done that differently and it, things would have turned out differently, what if I'd gone a different place, gotten a different job, married a different person, lived in a different location, all the what ifs and all those things, and man, what if that person hadn't done that to me and said that to me and treated me that way, and why do they do that? And then you replay all the thoughts of people being mean or cruel or stealing from you or abuse, all those things that keep us in the past. We're supposed to, Paul said, "I forget those entirely. I am moving forward with you, Jesus, into whatever you have." And for us, that's 2024. We're staring at it. He's got great things for every single one of us. We can put a wrap around 2023, give it to the Lord and say, "Thank you." And then look to him and say, "Okay, God, we say yes to all that you have for this coming year. We say yes to what you want to do in my life. We say yes to what your plans are, how you want to use me, how you want to move through me, the words you want to speak through me to other people." Fixing our gaze on him directly ahead of us. As Jada said, we want to be consecrated to him. So this is a great time. I do think this is a really good, one of the things in our culture that I think is a good thing is at the end of the year, kind of thinking about what has happened, but then looking ahead and setting new goals, saying, "God, what do you want me to do this year? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to live differently?" So that we can make adjustments, set some goals. And I want to encourage all of us in three areas of our lives to set some goals, make adjustments. If you have pen and paper, I encourage you to get something out right now or your phone if you're going to take notes on there just for a couple of minutes. I love the word J.D. used about the Word being saturated with the Word. What if our lives were saturated with the Word? Jeremiah said, I saw your Word, I found it, and I ate it. And it became a joy to me. Became a joy to me. I found your Word, and I ate it. I consumed it with my spirit. And became a joy to me. We need the Word desperately. People are being deceived, falling away from the Lord, many, many of them, because they don't have the Word in their hearts. And they get tricked and deceived by so many other things that they hear other people say. So we need the Word hidden in our hearts. We won't sin against the Lord. It'll help us to know what is true and what's a lie. It will keep us from deception. So I encourage you to continue, if you aren't already, to dive into the Word even more, to come up with a plan. I think we can be intentional about this as well. In addition to free-flowing, to reading a scripture that might come to mind, or you find yourself having fun navigating through scriptures, but also to have a plan, to make sure that you ingest the Word. I have been doing this. I just finished my third year of reading the whole Bible through each year. I'm planning on doing it this next year as well. I've used a couple different plans. I love the Nikki Gumbel one, which I've done for 2 years. And then this last year, I did the Bible Project plan. And I'm going to do this one again. I really have enjoyed it. That's me. You don't have to do it that way. But I encourage you to do some sort of Bible plan. Our Bible app that you have, that's for free. If you go to the Awake Church app on there, is the YouVersion Holy Bible. You'll see that. If you click that, it has a number of reading plans. It's all laid out for you. Makes it really easy. And at least with your phone, it helps me stay on track. And then I like reading the real written Bible oftentimes. But I use that app as well. So there are many, many different apps that you can use that will help you. You don't have to do it that way, but that's one way to do it. I wrote a book for us, for our church, several years ago called The Extraordinary Journey. It is a 22-day or a 22-week, you can use it once a day or once a week, plan of getting in close with the Lord, hearing from Him, ministering to other people, diving in the Word. You can use that as a tool, as well as many, many other devotional books that are out there to dive into the Word. And encourage you, as well as myself, I'm making some of these changes myself, some of the disciplines, some of the spiritual disciplines for our lives. And how about in three different areas? What if we made a plan for our bodies, made a plan for our mind, and made a plan for our spirit for this year? And ask the Holy Spirit, even this moment, Lord, Holy Spirit, what would you like me to do in all three of these areas? For my body, for my mind, for my spirit. And he'll show us here. Hebrews 12:11 says, now all discipline seems to be painful at the time. Yet later it will produce a transformation of character, bringing a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who yield to it. Discipline seems painful, but it's wonderful. Discipline is not necessarily fun in the moment, but its fruit, the results, it's very worth it. So we want to be disciplined. In spirit, let me start with the spirit part, just a few ideas, things to apply. I would say prayer, both alone and together. So we have like corporate prayer around here. It's a great thing to be a part of. We're together praying for others as well, but also individually, setting times to pray or moments in the day to pray, to communicate with God. That's all it is. Communication with God, talking and listening. Talking and listening, prayer, making requests, listening. That listening part is a huge part in our world that is full of information and full of noise and full of sounds and full of images and full of music 24/7. To tune that out and to pray in silence and solitude and to listen is a discipline that reaps huge rewards. But we have to tune out the noise. So encourage you to add prayer, intentionality with that. scripture, we just talked about that, to fast. You know, more and more studies are being done, even in the natural, of the benefits of fasting for the natural body. We'll talk about it in a second, but for the spirit man, a lot of benefits as well. For our spirit to be disciplined by fasting, there's different ways you can do it. You got the Daniel type of fast. You got fasts where people, you just decide and ask the Lord, perhaps, or maybe decide, I'm going to fast one day a week for this amount of time. I'm going to fast for 7 days. Up to 40 days. I think you need to know from the Lord you're supposed to do that one. That's a major one, but I know several people who have done that. I have not done a 40-day fast before. But as you fast, it is a denial of yourself and a leaning into God. And boy, it's like you recognize real quickly your need for him and the weakness of your flesh. Wow. Recognize the weakness of your flesh. It's a wonderful thing. And that prayer and time with the Lord and clarity from him is a wonderful thing through that as well. Thankfulness as a spiritual discipline, to make sure that we're thankful throughout the day, every day. Finding things, looking for ways to be thankful. Causes your spirit to be healthy. Thankfulness causes your spirit to be healthy. Worship, worshiping God. It's a spiritual discipline to worship God, even if your voice isn't great. That's my situation. But to worship him, not just on Sundays, but to worship, to sing. And of course, worship is beyond singing, but that's part of it. Serve others. Serving at church is one way to do that. But to serve others is a spiritual discipline. It's loving people. As much as we love ourselves, if we serve others, you're loving other people. Journaling what you hear. I want to encourage you to journal. Maybe you've never journaled before. It's okay. You can just start. Got a new year coming. I do a couple of different things with my journaling, and one is I have a dream journal, and then I have a kind of a spiritual journal. I keep them separate, and I log my dreams and ask God, what do they mean? What's this about? What do you want me to pray for related to that? And then they just have a different journal. You can do it so many different ways. It's just the way that I do it. But to journal the things, especially when you're praying, when you're reading the scriptures, the things that come to you, the revelation that you receive, the things that you feel you're supposed to do, write those down. The older I get, I've noticed, I don't remember things as long as I used to. And I need reminders, and writing things down is key for me. I've got to do that. And of course, fellowship, church, community, like this on Sundays. This is a spiritual discipline, to be a part of other people, to come and listen to someone talk, and to share and to minister, to worship together in community, to get to know one another, pray for each other. Small groups in the same way. That is it's a spiritual discipline that's healthy for your spirit man. And then your body. Fasting also applies, again, for your physical body. A lot of studies, more and more are coming out actually related to the health benefits physically of fasting, that your body was meant to have periods of not eating. And in it, there is a lot of regeneration. Clarity, a lot of great benefits for your physical body. So I encourage you to fast in different ways. There are a lot of different ways. I'm not going to go into all those. But the Lord will show you. You can go on a little bit of a journey in that. And then when you do eat for your body, eat healthy things. Less process, less toxins going in. And eat healthy, best you can. Make adjustments in any ways related to that. Exercising. It's part of our weekly routine. Walk more. Move more. Sit less. Those are some of mine right there. Sit less. Walk more. Exercise. Get good sleep. Less screen time. Does your phone tell you every once in a while, like, how many hours you were on the phone each day throughout the week? Mine does. And sometimes I'll kind of go, 3 hours a day? I was on there, so I don't know how that happened, but yep, I need to have less screen time in there and more of these other disciplines. And then for your mind, body, spirit, and mind. Say for your mind, set a guard over what you allow to come into this gate and this gate, our ear gates and our eye gates. I know this is basic. This is like you heard this since you're in Sunday school, but it is really true. These are gateways to actually not just for your mind, but it also touches your spirit. What you allow into your mind, what you allow into your ears. And what if we set a guard? We chose 2024. I'm not going to allow nudity to be seen. That's some other person other than my spouse through my eye gate. I'm not going to allow that in. I'm not going to allow gossip type things in my ears. I'm only going to listen to so much, even news, right? Because you can listen to too much news and just get super critical and negative and depressed. So what's the limits that I set? What are the guards that I set on my eyes and my ears, which is going to help my mind think the right things? I'm going to focus on what the scripture says, proclaiming it. I'm going to only listen to good podcasts. And when people start gossiping, I'm going to step away. I'm not going to listen to that stuff. I don't need to hear negative things. I'm going to fill my mind. And you know, our body, it says in 1 Corinthians 6, is the temple of God. So it's body, it's not just spirit, it's body too. This body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So what am I eating? What am I seeing? What am I watching? And Lord, are you pleased with that? Scripture says, I think it's Psalm 19, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, it really is your mind as well, meditations, what am I thinking about? May they be pleasing to you, Lord. I want to be pleasing to him in every way. And of course, the enemy, his job, he's intent on killing, stealing, and destroying your body, your mind, your spirit. But Jesus said, I'll give you abundant life in all those areas. Isn't that great? Jesus gives us abundant life. So as I focus on him, who is abundant life, he will feed me and give me the things that my spirit needs. But he'll also help my body. He'll help my mind. All of those areas, the Lord will help us. But we also have our part to play. There are things I need to not be eating. There are amounts that I need to not be eating. Right? To have moderation in some things. And then to eat good things, as well as seeing and listening. There's, you know, kind of a, I would say, one of the deceptions of this age, or the demonic things of this age, are that you can just watch anything, listen to anything. It's okay because you can handle it. You're mature. You can just filter it out. I'm telling you what, we got to be careful with that. That is, there are things we are not supposed to be listening to. There are things we're not supposed to be looking at. There are things we're not supposed to be participating in. And so doing our part is having really the fear of the Lord, which is, as Proverbs 8:13 says, the hatred of evil. So the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. So if I hate evil like the Lord hates it, then I'm not going to just participate in it, wallow in it, and just think, I'm going to be okay. I need to be intentional about what I allow in every way, body, mind, spirit. All right, that's enough. We'll see what the Lord shows you. And let's just pray for a moment and just allow the Lord to speak to you and to put these things into place. Even show you on the calendar what to write down, what adjustments to make. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are the one who fills us. It says, in you we live and move and have our being. You are on the inside and we give you ourselves. We consecrate ourselves to you and ask that you would show us things to adjust, things to kick out, things to make changes in, things to give away. Lord, our minds are supposed to be all the way yours, our thoughts, and we give those over to you today, not just our hearts, but our minds as well. Ask that you'd help us make adjustments, give us things to do that are healthy for us. Lord, show us how and when and where to fast and to enjoy those moments of fasting with you, to really enjoy them. in your presence, Lord.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.